Father, we thank you for the darkness, because in the midst of darkness we are reminded of what this world would have been like had Christ not have come. But we thank you that he has come and he has forever changed the course of history, that he is indeed the ruler of the nations, King of kings and Lord of lords. May we all together worship him today for who he is, because he is worthy of all praise and honor and glory, both now and forever. Amen. Oh, that one solitary life. His birth was contrary to the laws of nature, and his death was contrary to the laws of death. He had no cornfields or fisheries, but he was able to feed 5,000 people and have bread and fish to spare. He walked on no beautiful carpets or velvet rugs, but he walked on the waters of the Sea of Galilee, and they supported him. For 3 years he preached his gospel. He wrote no books. He built no church houses. He had no monetary backing. But after 1950 years, Jesus Christ is the one central character of human history, the pivot around which the events of the ages revolve, the only regenerator of the human race. Now I ask you, was it merely the son of Joseph and Mary that crossed the world's horizon 1950 years ago? Was it merely human blood that flowed from Calvary's hill for the redemption of sinners? Every thinking person must proclaim, he is my Lord and my God. He is indeed the King of glory. Come, let us visit the land in which this King was born. Come, let us worship this King of glory.
Oh, come to the place where the Holy Child is laid. Oh, come, let us see the newborn King. For he is our God and greatly to be praised. Come, let us worship the King. Come, let us worship the King. Jesus the Savior is born, for the Lord will reign over all the earth. Come, let us worship the King. Jesus the Savior is born, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Through all the earth, let us worship the King. Has come, let all the nations sing. The mountains ring out with angelic praise. The heavens rejoice, for the earth receives her King. Come, let us worship the King. Come, let us worship the King. Jesus the Savior is born, for the King. Jesus the Savior is born, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Through all the earth, let us worship the King. Come, let us worship the King. Jesus the Savior is born, for the
prophet Isaiah foretold 700 years before the Christ child, the king, was born, that there would come a king to the land of Israel. He said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son will be given. The government shall be upon his shoulders." He would be a king. "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace," the king. "And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end upon the throne of David, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice, even forever." But you know, in that first century, when Jesus Christ came, there were few who were really expecting him. Can you imagine the humble carpenter who built the manger in which our Lord was cradled? He was just a humble workman with the tools with which he wrought. And he built a common stable, or so it was, he thought. For he fashioned there a manger where the cattle could be fed, never thinking that the Christ child would pillow there his head. So we too must work very carefully, for we may not know how God is going to use us and the common tasks that we do. Just a common manger, but it became the manger where the Lord Jesus Christ was cradled.
Jesus, boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you were. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take all our sins away. Our eyes were blind, we couldn't see. We didn't know who you were. Long time ago, you were born. Manger low, sweet little Jesus boy. The world treats you mean, Lord, treats me mean too. But that's how things are down here. We don't know who you are. You have told us how we are trying. Master, you have showed us how, even when you were dying. Just seems like we can't do right. Look how we treated you. But please, sir, forgive us, Lord. We didn't know it was you. Sweet little Jesus boy, born long time ago. Sweet little holy child, and we didn't know who you were.
The prophet Micah, who was a contemporary of Isaiah, likewise foresaw the coming event of the Christ's birth. 700 years before the event, Micah even pinpointed the exact place where the Lord would be born. He said, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judean villages, yet out of you shall come forth he who shall be a ruler, a king to me, whose goings forth have been from of old, even from everlasting." Well, the morning for Bethlehem finally arrived.
Lift up your heads, no need to mourn. His hand is stretched out still. For unto us a child is born, his promise to fulfill. The King of Kings and the Lord.
turn to Gabriel, you are needed in the foyer immediately. Verna Gabriel, if she's here. Well, what an unusual childhood Jesus Christ lived. We see glimpses of him at the age of 12 confounding the great teachers in Israel by his wisdom. And he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He began his public ministry at the age of 30, and for the next 3 years or so, Jesus Christ astounded the multitudes of Israel by his teachings and by his miracles. He healed every kind of sickness and every kind of disease present in the land. He cast out demons. He even raised the dead. Now the multitudes followed him gladly. They even wanted to take him and make him their king. But the religious leaders, perhaps out of jealousy, turned against him and finally demanded his crucifixion. Before long, the tide of public opinion likewise had turned against him. And at his trial, we hear the crowds as they cry out in unison with the religious leaders, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And then they led him away through the streets of Jerusalem to the outskirts of the city to be crucified.
Tried to clear the narrow streets, but the crowd pressed in to see the man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. Out of his love for you and me, down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Por la Via Dolorosa, triste día en Jerusalén, los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba para ver al que llevaba aquella cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa, que es la vía del dolor, como oveja vino Cristo, Rey Señor. Y fue él quien quiso ir por su amor, por ti, por mí, por la Via Dolorosa al Calvario y a morir. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering. Like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
But this too was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before when he wrote these words. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He is despised and yet we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to his own way. But the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all.
Behold the
was taken down from the cross and placed in a borrowed tomb. And on the third day, Sunday morning, some of his followers came early to the tomb. And an angel met them there and said, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, even as he said. Now come and see the place where the Lord lay. And then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is going before you into Galilee, and he will appear to you there." And appear he did. For the next 40 days, Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples, and by many infallible proofs convinced them that he was alive, being seen of them, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Before he left his disciples, he commissioned them to go out into all the world and preach this marvelous gospel to every person. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. He is still calling people to come and to serve him. And we, like his followers, must experience the same compassion that Jesus did. For Matthew tells us that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered abroad. He saw them like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but oh, the laborers, they're so few. Pray then that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest." You see, the reason why Jesus did so was because he knows that people need the Lord.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the Lord? Take his light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. They must just hear the words of life. Only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door.
As you can see, the work is by no means finished. Jesus Christ is still calling people today. People who are willing to be changed, transformed into His image. Paul writes, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And again Paul writes, "But we have this treasure, this glorious gospel in earthen vessels." Earthen vessels, these bodies of ours, "that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves." Lord, make me a vessel of honor.
A vessel of honor for God.
Jesus Christ, before he left, he told his disciples that the works that they would do would be greater works than he had done. And as Griffith Thomas writes in one of his books, he says, "Greater works indeed have been done by his disciples and are being done by his disciples." Jesus Christ is changing lives, transforming character. He is exalting ideals and inspiring philanthropies around the world. Jesus Christ is motivating men to the truest and highest in human life. Well, when his mission is completed, Jesus Christ will personally return to establish his kingdom. Isaiah the prophet likewise foresaw that 700 years before Christ came when he said, "There will come a day when the desert will blossom like the rose. The eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped, the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing." Jesus, at the conclusion of his Mount of Olives discourse, reminded his followers, he said, "You will see the day when the Son of Man will be coming in the clouds with power and great glory." John, one of his followers, was banished to the island called Patmos out of persecution, and it was there that he saw this coming glory in the return of Jesus Christ, and he wrote, "Behold, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and those who pierced him, and all of the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him." Jesus Christ will come again in great glory.
The sky shall unfold, prepare. Stars shall applaud him with splendors of praise. The sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall behold him. Then faith out of his coming. The sleeping shall rise from their slumbering place. And those who remain shall be changed.
The relationship that he establishes with us is one that time and space can never erase. And Napoleon says, once we have given of our hearts to him, then our hearts become an annexation of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Has your heart been incorporated into his kingdom? Has your life been annexed into his great cause, which will last not only for time but for eternity? Only you can know whether you have opened your life and given Jesus your all. But I tell you, friend, he will settle for nothing, nothing less. Perhaps in the silence of these moments, through what you have seen and what you have heard, you have come to that moment of truth in your own lives that you've never really given your life to Christ. Right now you would like to do that. Why don't you do it? You might want to pray this morning, Lord, you are the King of glory and I give you my heart today. His coming was not in vain, and he will indeed come again, just as the prophets were right the first time, they will be right the second time. Now, Father, our hearts have been moved by what we have seen and heard. And there would be the temptation to go back out into our world and get caught up in the busyness of Christmas and fail to realize the greatest gift has already been given by Jesus Christ. And the greatest gift that we can give to him is our hearts and total devotion and commitment. May we be ambassadors for Christ. May we be challenged to go back out and serve him gladly, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I pray in the matchless, unsurpassed, most beautiful name, which is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.